It is Dukes and Bell. We are live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Mike, we were just chopping it up with our listeners, Monique and her sister, and then a nice couple at the bar who was actually at practice today.
Yeah, man. Blake and Katie, they live up the street up there by Chateau Alain, and they're big listeners and big Falcon fans. They were getting the big kick out of the story you were relating earlier, where just yesterday, D-Led goes, Drake Lunn is leaving money on the field with all these drops. Ball security, hashtag ball security. And then, of course, today when he makes this big catch, comes right in front of the media and goes, yeah, report that blank, D-Led. Which they were laughing at, and it was great.
It's the best. It's the
best. Look, Drake, and we, there's a video, and I reposted it. The Falcons put it up there. Yeah, I mean, it's like those old school NFL films where the ball is in the air for like 20 minutes. But it's that super tight spiral, and I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to watch. And it's Michael Penix Jr. with a perfect spiral, and Drake London catching it in stride. And just, we're going to see a lot of that, as Wes Drewham said last year, working 9 to 5.
Yeah, it's a perfect way to, you know, talk about that connection between those two guys, and we hope we see a lot of it. And then, you know, eventually what happens, Mike, is they're catching touchdowns that much, then you start to see the signs, 9 to 5 in the stands, and people will start to jump on, and you'll hear it on the national broadcast as well, because there could be something special there. If you're just joining us, giving you a lot of impressions of what we got from practice today, first full pad workout, and if you're going, well, were the pads popping? They were. You're not trying to hurt your teammates, guys, but you do want to get some good work in, and I thought they did. But again, you know, Mike, when they went down to the red zone, one example, you know, Michael Penix, nice throw to Ray McLeod. I think he makes a nice catch, you know, literally like a diving on the ground kind of catch, because that was the only place Michael could put the ball. But that's the thing, man. I want to see more. We say this every year. More red zone production.
Right, and I want to see Bijan down the field as part of the vertical passing game. He can do it. Bijan can make all the catches the wide receivers can make. We talked about that wheel route and that touchdown where he just basically ran away from the Saints in that last game of Arthur Smith's tenure. But this is one where you saw today. There was I saw two plays, one where Bijan releases going down the field, one where he's actually set out wide. It's something you and I talked about with Day-Day the other day. All these different imaginative play calls that, well, we didn't really see at times last year. A little more imagination. As we learned from watching quarterback on Showtime, Kirk Cousins really does struggle with some of the pre-snap motion, which I can't believe. Probably Penix Jr.'s got a better handle on everything Zach's asking him to do.
Yeah, that's the part about this. Like, the down-the-field connection on the big plays is great. We do need to stretch the field, but once we get down there, we can't get bogged down. We gotta find a way to put it in the end zone, and we have some big targets. That's the other part about this. Hey, man, we're having a good time out here. Come join us. Great drink specials as well here at Hooters, as we love being out here. We'll be back on Thursday.
Talk about what you're sipping on, by the way.
Oh, well, this is that tasty beverage, to quote
Pope Fiction. It is a tasty beverage.
Yeah, man, I told you, it's called the Summer Crush. It's got a Grey Goose. It's got strawberry puree, pineapple juice, lime, sour, and Red Bull. Yellow edition, by the way.
I was, you know, because Becky was asking, my wife's a big vodka
Katie,
person.
I see you over there. You said, wow, that sounds
get
good.
Some of that. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to make some of those this weekend for the wife, man.
It's good. Right. I can't front. Like, I literally held this up to the bartender because she knows. I was like, tapped on it, and she was like, no problem. But I had this the last time we were here. It's just refreshing.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the wives, does Michelle stay up with you when you watch TV at night? Or is she out?
Sometimes. But not only. Like, she's the – you know what it is? Turn the TV off. I've been asleep. Yes, you've been asleep, and you haven't realized that I've been having the TV on for the last hour.
Yeah, that's the thing. The old Billy Joel song, sleeping with the television on. Last night, same thing. We're outside. You know, I was nice enough to sit in the pool, and perfect night out there, and come inside. And I go, what do you want to watch? He's like, I don't want to watch that. I go, you're going to be asleep in a minute.
We do that.
Can I watch some Netflix? Well, I don't know. What do you want to watch? I go, I don't know. There's something on World War II I can watch. I'll find something. So sure enough, I start flipping around, and she's out. And
gone.
So, like, I mean, she's on the couch like two out of five nights of the week. Night, she's out.
This, Mike, it happens. To your point, it does happen. Here's the thing. Last night, I'm watching Air Disasters. Okay,
right.
Hate me if you want to.
I'm gonna guess it was human error.
Of course it was. I'm curious. I'm fascinated.
Right.
She's doing whatever she's doing. Finally gets into the bed. I'm 40 minutes into this show. I want to see the finale.
Yes.
I want to see how they figured this out.
Right.
I want to see what this pilot did and how he screwed it up. And I'm sitting there, and I'm totally immersed. Are you going to put something on that everybody can watch? Really? I'm 40 minutes into this.
You've got – you know what? I'm sorry. I'm vested.
I'm vested.
Right.
And then I said exactly what you told Becky. You will be asleep in about 3 minutes.
Right.
Let me finish this show. I want to see something that – I said, fine.
Oh.
Fine.
Yeah, it's just been a thing of late where it's just like, you know, and then Ike is all conflicted. The dog's like, do I slay on the couch? Do I go to the bedroom with me? You know, usually he kind of, he gets half and half.
I was one of these kids, by the way, because I had a small, I mean like a small, I mean, well, it was probably like a 13-inch TV.
Right.
In my room. And I had to go to sleep with it on because my parents allowed me to be able to have a TV in my room.
Right, right.
But it wasn't until I was a teenager. Like, it wasn't like when I was seven. Yeah. But like once I became like 13, my dad's like, you're gonna have one in there. And I remember like having the TV on and going to bed and then waking up in the morning and being like, and the TV was still on. So I am one of these creatures, like I've always needed that to kind of help me put this
little background noise.
Yeah, and my wife's completely opposite. I read a book, the entire book before I went to sleep. That's you.
And for you kids out there, just so you know, Carl and I both grew up hard. I had a console TV, Carl, but it was black and white.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, when Nana and Grandpa moved down to Florida, I got the old Magnavox. So I played my Atari on a black and white.
Yeah.
Much to the bemusement and chagrin of my friends.
Y'all are laughing. I'm serious. I want to say the TV couldn't have been no bigger. It could not have been any bigger than, day-day, 20 inches? Maybe? I don't know. Maybe, because it sounds like 13 inches doesn't sound big, but they weren't big back then.
No, no. And it was funny, because then I was like Jeff Foxworthy's kid. Then later, when we got a color TV, it went on top of the giant, big black and white console.
Because you needed somewhere to put it.
Right on.
Hey, man. It's Dukes and Bell. We're hanging out at Hooters, should I say. We're going to be at Buffalo's Cafe next week. We'll tell you about that, because we're going to be here Thursday, and then a couple days next week, and then we're at Buffalo's Cafe. So we're hanging out up here in the Buford area, man. For Falcons training camp. Coming up, Leonard Floyd. Find out what he had to say and who talks a lot of noise. You might be surprised about what he had to say. Right now, though, Big O, let's get to 4th and 1. Fourth and One brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Around the NFL, Cowboys, we're not talking about Micah Parsons, but Tyler Guyton suffered a bone fracture. He's likely to miss 4 to 6 weeks, Mike. They thought it was more than this. He's not going to need surgery. They thought it was an ACL tear, but this is one of their big offensive linemen that they are counting a lot on. You want to talk about protecting Dak Prescott in that run game? This guy's going to be a big part of it.
They've had a big offensive line. One of the areas with, you know, of all the things Jerry Jones has screwed up in Dallas, he's gotten the defensive line and the offensive line right. But some guys have stepped away, retirements, now another injury. So something that maybe they'll be looking at the waiver wire to maybe bolster the depth there. Meanwhile, you got Jimmy Haslam. We mentioned it earlier up in Cleveland. Apparently, in front of the media, he decided to let it all hang out. Basically saying that all you guys that are waiting on us to get Arch Manning, there's no way of knowing, and he's going to stay in college, as Carl pointed out, for at least another year. It's going to be 2 years of him as a starter in Texas, which probably with the Mannings, whether it's his uncle or his dad, would say is the best way to prepare yourself for the NFL. But he wasn't finished. Then he was asked about why you drafted Shedeur Sanders. He goes, hey, man. He goes, don't look at me. It's my general manager. He says, Barry did that. Yeah, he has autonomy to do what he does. So basically, Jimmy Haslam, if not disavowing, basically saying, hey, picking Shedeur Sanders, that was all on my front office. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and Shedeur, by the way, Deion Sanders, remember he was speaking yesterday about his battle with cancer. He says he's fine, he's past it, and he lost weight. But he was asked about why didn't he go to Browns camp. And he said Shedeur told me he didn't want him to come.
Didn't want to be the distraction.
And it's great. For everybody that thinks Deion is this guy that's just going to bombard everything and – he understands that his son's got to find this and make his own way. And so when he said, my son told me not to come, I'm only going to get probably 3 or 4 snaps at practice, Dad. There's no reason for you to be there. But I think it's good. Deion understands, man, he lived this. He knows what it's like. And look, if Shedeur's good enough, Mike, he's going to get a shot, whether it's in Cleveland or somewhere else at some point. And maybe it works out for him. But I think that was the right move, because if he does that, it completely takes away from Shedeur trying to make this team and be the starter.
A couple Falcon fans have asked this because he is a name, but I don't think we've got the cap space, and I think we're okay where we are right now. Interior line, a guy that a couple years ago I wanted him to draft, that's Christian Wilkins, who's right now kind of a man without a team. He allegedly playfully kissed a teammate on the top of his head in a meeting, which apparently drew a couple guys right at the bar shaking their heads right now, Carl, as we tell this story. That's a no. Pete Carroll was asked about it because he's no longer on the team. He says, I have no comment to make. We made a decision on what we're doing, and we're moving with it. We'll see how that all unveils itself in time. Because, again, they're saying he didn't follow the protocols for his rehab after having his foot surgery. Then on top of that, there's an incident where, whatever it was, playful or not, a teammate made an HR beef on it.
Yeah, look, how well do you have to know a dude to kiss him on top of his forehead? No, I'm being serious. Like, you don't even do that with your boys, do you?
No.
You might dap him up. You might have some fun. But I don't even do that with my closest friends. And even if we were in a locker room situation to be playing around like that, I don't know. There's just a line that you cross. But obviously, Christian thought he could do it because he wouldn't have done it. And then this is the response he gets. But, Mike, there has to be more to this. Obviously, it's the rehab and all the other stuff. But this just added on to, I think, a reason. Guys, in the NFL, if they want to move on from you, they move on from you. And if it entails them losing money, which they're going to have to pay some of this money back. They're not getting all of this guaranteed
money. I do get a kick out of this because it's funny. You read Pro Football Talk and what story gets outraged, what story doesn't. You got Florio and his guys going, what player would make a beef over that? I'm like, wait, meanwhile, if Florio doesn't like the team, he'll make a big federal case out of next to nothing, like us, right?
Yes.
So anyway, he's just talking about this, what kind of player? Well, again, maybe a guy who's like being kissed on the top of his head. I mean, I think the closest I would come to that is, you know, if we're all on vacation and Drunk Larry passes out on the couch, you pat him on his head. Oh, he's so cute at this age.
Yes.
You make a joke, but this guy didn't really vibe it, so there you go. It just seems to me like the Raiders did release that to kind of add a little fuel to the fire why they're moving on from Wilkins.
Ah, crazy stuff. Hey, as we talk about Leonard Floyd, who's going to be on here in just a sec, less than 5 minutes, stay tuned for our interview with Leonard Floyd, who made his way back to Georgia. He is a Georgia boy, and all the things he had to say about where the Falcons are, where this defense is. We do want to mention this. We'll dive more into it in Guy Talk, but the shooting suspect yesterday who was killed, who went into a Midtown Manhattan office building, which happens to be the same location as NFL headquarters, just, Mike, the footage, this dude's walking in with a long gun, and nobody's even saying anything. Like, everybody's just walking by.
Double parks his car right there on Park Avenue. And again, as I said to Carl, everybody in New York's just so aloof, they're not paying attention, they think they're making a movie. It's mind-blowing. And just the vagaries of this situation. If he gets in the wrong elevator, so basically you get people in another office lose their lives because this guy who basically blaming this on CTE, who never played pro football, from all records, never played beyond high school football, drives all the way cross country from Las Vegas. And I said to Carl, you want to blame the NFL for CTE, just, you don't have to take other people's lives out. I'm sorry. Call me. No, I'm sick and tired of being PC about mental health, but this stuff just gets crazy. And he had a concealed permit in the state of Nevada, too.
Yeah. Well, it's tragic. And I'm sure security will be amped up around the NFL offices. Is it a one-off? Yeah, you could say that.
I wonder what kind of security they've got in the NFL because they do have a lot of ex-law enforcement that work for them.
No doubt about it. Hey, man, more on that coming up a little bit later. When we come back, though, Leonard Floyd stopped by Dukes and Bell, hear what he had to say about the pass rush, his journey, and more coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.